All right. Hey, Adam.
Good morning, Eben. How are you?
Good morning.
It is morning. It's 12:15.
Well, there you
on
go.
On Monday morning. So, oh, Jesus. I'm going to have 5 hours
After midnight, yes.
It is after midnight.
Never feed us after midnight.
Exactly.
Welcome back. Yes.
Is that what happens?
Well, don't tell anyone, but it can.
It can happen. No, you feed them after midnight, they reproduce. Gremlins.
Yeah, the gremlins, yes.
I'm talking gremlins.
Well, they don't actually reproduce. They pop spores out of their back that turn into reptilian versions of themselves. So I guess that's a form of reproduction, yes.
That is reproduction.
It is. There's a cat going crazy in the background here.
Bloody hell. Would you be quiet? Yes, hush, I can see you.
So this is our co-host for this evening, Bagheera. Yes.
Exactly. They don't. They reproduce in water.
That's right.
They turn into little scaly monsters if you feed them after midnight.
That's it. You're right. Absolutely. Yes. Clearly, it's been too long since I've seen gremlins. Well, welcome back to...
You traumatize your daughter by showing her gremlins.
That's true, since we're trying to go from Finding Dory to the next thing. Gremlin seems like
the obvious choice.
So, yes, welcome back to the Mythmakers podcast. We missed last week, sadly, as Adam was
in
off
New York.
In New York making food for how many people?
35 people.
35
my
people.
My parents-in-law, yes. 50th wedding anniversary, and my mother-in-law's 75th birthday.
Yes.
And so we went to New York to basically host a party.
Yes.
Which was great and well worth celebrating.
Yes.
Really good, actually. It was lovely.
Very good.
So, yes. But it did mean we missed this.
So we missed this show last week, but this show is all about storytelling, the process, people, and power of story. We like to talk about the stuff that we're doing, but we also just like to talk about the stuff that we're excited about in this realm of story. And
yes,
so that is
which is so much.
This episode is going to be a massive Hoojama Flip episode.
It is.
It's all Hoojama Flip all the time.
We were debating because we were just we initially thought, why don't we do something serious?
Yes.
Because we had the idea for doing a episode on scene blocking.
Yes.
How one shoots and constructs a scene to shoot... for a motion picture.
But then we realized we haven't talked about all the Comic-Con news.
All the exciting shit
and,
that's been going on.
We haven't really even had a chance to talk about it.
I know.
So we started going through it,
and we were like, no, wait, let's stop. Let's record our ramblings.
Yeah,
because
so
why
we'll,
not?
We'll do this. This is be a big geek out episode, and then we'll talk about scene blocking next week. How
yeah,
about
exactly.
That?
Sounds great.
Sounds good. So for those that don't know, since this is a all Hoojama Flip all the time episode,
yes.
What is a Hoojama Flip?
A Hoojama Flip is a whatever you can't quite remember the name of. in the moment. Yes.
Yes. Or what we think of as like the top of mind things,
exactly.
The things you're thinking
exactly.
About. So quick project update from us and then we'll dive right in. So for those that know our series Dead Town.
Yes.
Has been running on the Yarn platform. Hello.
Oh
Bagheera.
My God.
Jeez.
All right. I'm
going
to let him out because otherwise he's going to keep doing it.
Yes. So our co-host won't shut up. You're not supposed to interrupt. Anyhow, Dead Town is up on Yarn right now. Season 1 and 2 on the Yarn platform, which you can find on the App Store or Google Play by searching Yarn.
Yep.
It's doing rather well. So we've crested over 2.1 million views at this point. We'll actually have some very important and interesting numbers coming back in this week as far as actual overall engagement and that sort of stuff. So we'll probably share some of that as well.
Yep.
But very exciting. It definitely seems to be resonating with those that read it. And we have what we do know right now is it's got a very very high completion rate, which makes us very happy. So those that do start reading tend to stick around,
which is obviously always exciting.
So, you know, if you haven't had a chance to check it out yet, we would love it if you would do so and would highly encourage you to do so. So, again, on the Yarn app, Dead Town Breakout, that's our prequel to our Macroverse comic series, which we have just gotten all of the art in for episode 9, which looks amazing and also completes
and
the first season
exactly.
Of the Macroverse series. So we'll probably have something to say about that next week as well.
Yep.
And then I think we can finally announce in the kind of truncated version with, again, more to say about it next week, that we have just signed a contract to create a bunch more contracts for Yarn.
For Yarn, which is incredibly exciting.
And so this is very cool. So we were their first external content partner with Dead Town, and we've gotten a chance to really get to know those guys and kind of get an understanding of how their kind of business works and mm-hmm. how the audience works. And so we came up with an idea a few months ago about kind of how to potentially raise the engagement level with that audience and start to kind of build story and world franchises on the platform,
yes.
Pitch that to them, and have finally just signed that deal and closed that deal.
Very
so
exciting.
It's very exciting, and there'll be lots more to say about that over the next coming weeks and months. But it should be really cool. Like,
yeah,
actually,
no,
we've already been writing some scripts and
did a lot of story breaking quite a happy month with, ago now, yeah. over a month ago, actually.
Yeah, and quite happy with how those are coming along. So we'll just kind of a teaser right now, but lots more to say about
yep.
that as we move forward.
Be very cool.
So let's talk about Comic-Con. We didn't make it down to Comic-Con ourselves this year.
Yep.
Too busy.
Yep, basically.
but lots of interesting entertainment news, trailers, sorts, you know, all this sort of geek nerd fun stuff that we love. So where do you want to start? So
I think to me the big thing is the trailers. I love
yes.
about Comic-Con,
yes.
and it is all this new stuff coming out, these projects we've heard about that
yep.
are kind of bubbling along, you know, maybe some teasers have appeared,
yep. Yep.
And suddenly the trailers hit, you
yes.
know, one after another as
yes.
it's as they're announced in these halls.
Yes.
Which is really cool.
So for anyone that hasn't seen these things that we're about to talk about, go check them out. I'm
exactly.
sure it'll make a lot more sense.
There's no spoilers, obviously,
no
because they're trailers.
Yep.
Or other... Flip side, it's all spoilers.
They're all trailers.
Boring.
Spoilers for all these trailers.
Exactly.
So we're just kind of, we've also pulled up the Apple Movie Trailer site at the
yep.
moment.
So where do you
want to start with here, Adam?
Let's start at the top.
Yeah.
Glass.
So I love the look of Glass.
Yes.
I was a huge Sixth Sense fan.
Oh, Sixth Sense.
And then.
Speaking of which,
yes.
so you know Haley Joel Osment.
Yes, yes.
Is one of the stars on my show right now.
I did not realize that.
Fucking great. Every now and then I have this weird moment of, wait, you were the kid on Sixth Sense.
Do you have to fight back the urge to say I see dead people?
Really don't, because he's kind of great and doesn't really remind me of the kid. But every now and then, suddenly I'm like, oh, yeah, no, you were. Yeah, it's very funny. Anyway, yes,
that's awesome.
Anyway,
yeah.
Glass, obviously. M. Night Shyamalan, huge hit with
yeah.
Sixth Sense, which
yeah.
was genuinely spectacular.
Yeah.
I wasn't a huge fan of Unbreakable.
Yeah.
It was interesting, and
yes.
I think lots of great
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah.
Signs was obviously then another monster hit for him.
Yeah.
And then kind of after that went down.
Kind of a decline, yeah. I mean, for me, and I think
the
a
nadir
lot of, people...
of which I think is Avatar.
Yes.
Although
The Last Airbender,
After
yeah.
Earth.
After Earth also not great. I mean, the Avatar one especially to me stings a little bit, not as much as it does to who I'm about to mention, but I went to college with one of the co-creators
oh.
of Avatar, and you know, he and his co-creator who built that franchise from the ground up at Nickelodeon
mm-hmm.
were, you know, this was very much in the right on kind of the cusp of like creators getting kind of like, oh, thanks for this.
Yeah.
Now go away.
Off. Yes.
So they were very much in the now go away camp when
yes.
they made the movie. And I know, for Mike DiMartino, who's one of the creators, he, in particular, I could tell talking to him, there's a definite slight sore spot there where it's like this baby that they built into this like legitimate hit franchise for Nickelodeon.
Colossal. And
was
justifiably so.
Pretty
I mean,
much destroyed.
You know, that comic series is great.
Yeah.
I mean, that
yeah.
cartoon series is
yeah.
fantastic.
Yeah.
And it's imaginative. It's entertaining. And like, I remember the kids being into it and kind of watching and thinking, oh, this is kind of weird. Why?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
And then really get engaged. And the spinoff
yeah.
was Legend of Korra is
yeah.
terrific as
yeah.
well. I mean,
yeah.
they did such a good job with that series.
Yeah.
And to just bugger it up in
yes.
such a terrifying way with
yes.
Avatar. It's just sad, quite frankly.
So, it is nice to see,
yes.
In a funny way, it is nice to see Mr. Shyamalan back with something that looks really fantastic. And
I didn't see Split. Do you see Split?
I did, and I am actually, I was surprised how much I loved
yes.
Split, because I heard very mixed kind of reviews from
mm-hmm.
people.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw it relatively recently and really enjoyed it, and definitely was in the camp of like, you know, when the reveal they introduce as is David Dunn is Bruce Willis's character, like he's basically a 5 second cameo at the end, and you go, oh, like this is in the same universe, and that's very exciting. And I'm blanking on his name, but who's the lead that also plays Professor X?
James McAvoy,
yes, and he is fantastic in that role.
I'm actually excited to see that. Kira saw it in the theaters and loved it.
Yeah.
So I think in preparation for this, I think we might actually all. What do you think about it for Kyle? Too much for him? I mean, he's pretty tall.
No,
Quiet Place was fine. Yeah, he's pretty grown up.
He'd be fine. Yeah, okay. In that case, he'd be fine. Okay. I mean, it's actually nothing particularly scary. It's a little supernatural. There are some shock beats, but it's like, you know, nothing particularly scary, but it is just incredibly well made. And, you know, James McAvoy is just sort of a tour de force kind of chewing the scenery.
What the hell was that?
As enough alcohol this evening, just chewing the scenery with the, you know, opportunity to play all these different personalities. It's really fantastic. But Glass looks great. I'm looking forward to it.
Genuinely excited about that.
And I actually kind of think this we'll see how it is, but it's like, I think it's a kind of a perfect moment to kind of bring that back in this sort of superhero infused world that we live in, and to, you know, kind of taking,
make them more grounded and gritty and dark.
Exactly. So it's like
not dark in a DC way.
Exactly. not in a crappy way. But I think it gets genuinely interesting. And what I also really liked about the trailer for Glass is, I think, exploring the notion of this idea that, you know, it's like this psychological condition for people that, you know, think they're superhuman, and then potentially there are those that actually are, is a pretty interesting premise as a concept. So yeah, very much like the look of that.
Yep. Crimes of Grindelwald.
Latest
trailer.
The look.
Actually, I wasn't a huge fan of Fantastic Beasts.
Yeah. No, I actually am pretty much not a fan of Fantastic Beasts. I was pretty bored by the whole thing. But this looks wonderful to me.
No, I'm excited. Yeah.
And I think, you know, we were talking, Kira, your daughter and I were talking about it, and Kira is a huge Harry Potter fan, and we're all kind of Harry Potter fans. But I think, you know, what it looks like they've done is just kind of embrace the Harry Potterness of the whole thing, which I think is great. So I think that was my disconnect with Fantastic Beasts is, it's like, yes, it's in the same universe, but it doesn't really feel like Harry Potter. And these trailers,
whereas now you're tying together. I think the idea of for God's sake, young Dumbledore.
Oh yes, Jude Law. Yeah, he's
Jude Law
great.
Is young Dumbledore. He's fantastic. Yeah. Obviously, Eddie Redmayne is terrific.
Yeah.
Period. Like Johnny Depp looks like he's chewing the scenery appropriately.
Yeah.
I feel like it's now. It's touching enough points that you've seen in the books. And that, I think you're right. This piece of disconnect for the first movie, where it was totally irrelevant to anything that happened in the books.
Exactly.
Whereas now you are, right.
I mean, we're at Hogwarts, for God's sake. I mean, just the trailer feels like a new installment in the Harry Potter world, whereas the first movie just didn't to me.
No,
so
not at all.
Very excited about that based on those trailers. Yep. I think that looks great.
Exactly.
Did you see Overlord, this new...
I didn't.
J.J. Abrams.
Oh, right. I saw something about it, but I didn't.
It looks like kind of zombies or monsters in World War II kind of thing, which is interesting.
Interesting. So Overlord obviously was the name of the Allied invasion of Normandy.
Yeah.
So no, I'm actually kind of intrigued by the whole thing.
Yeah. So we'll have to watch that offline and maybe talk about that later. But it looks interesting, and it's one of those things where it's not exactly one of our ideas, but it's kind of in the neighborhood of one of our ideas, which are kind of like. But it also looks pretty fun. Looks pretty cool.
That's kind of fun. Bohemian Rhapsody. Amazing. I love the look of more and more.
Yes. Amazing.
Just can't wait.
Yeah.
Fallout.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's released this weekend. A little behind. Record-breaking opening weekend, which is awesome.
Yes,
nothing but good stuff. We actually, so it was between Fallout and
Mission Impossible.
Fallout and Teen Titans Go this weekend as a treat, as something with the kids.
And Teen Titans One. Yes.
Teen Titans One, and I'm glad it did. Like Fallout, I can't wait to see. And we're going to go see the Chinese next weekend, which maybe we should go together.
Yes.
As I say that out loud, maybe Sunday afternoon.
Yes.
Fallout, I can't wait for. Obviously, it's one of the ones I've been excited about for this whole summer. Teen Titans. such fun.
Yes.
Just tone perfect. I like the TV show. Both kids have been fans of the TV show. Yeah. I really enjoy it. Made me giggle. The last line especially, it's not giving anything away. Mm. You know, they end, they wrap it up, and Robert's giving this whole speech about what the lesson the kid should learn. And he gives, and everyone else is like, no, roll the credits, we're bored. Everyone's bored now, roll the credits. Like, no, we need to take the lesson from this. We need to discuss what they're going to talk about in the car on the way home. Like, this is our learning moment. Like, no, roll the credits. And he's like, fine. No, wait. And the camera, like, is panning away. And he shoots his grappling at the camera, comes up, like, grabs hold of the mat box, and he goes, no, wait, kids, ask your parents where babies come from. And then the screen goes black. Just the perfect way of ending the movie.
Yeah.
So, a blast. Like, it's so fun. It's always nice to find those things. So my daughter's 16, and my son is 10.
Yes.
And yet, they were both equally massively excited to see this film, so it was very sweet to see.
That is awesome. Great. Two Mission Impossible anecdotes which I've come across recently, which I thought were interesting. So just this will just make you watch something when you go see the movie. So two things. One is, I'm sure you've noticed every time that number one, Tom Cruise has a pretty phenomenal run.
Compared
to other actors,
just
right?
So anybody else.
So it's like
Jason Statham gives
Statham has
money.
A good one. Yes, but
he, Daniel
but
Craig sometimes.
It's true, but just.
Oh, no.
Unquestionably, if there's one thing Tom Cruise can do, he can run. So, but apparently, he actually is on record, I believe, saying this, that most people run like you normally would run with fists closed.
Yes.
And that the camera doesn't pick up the movement when your fists are closed.
So is that why he does the open palm?
That's why he does the open scissor, like hand, the open palm run. That is not a affectation. That is specifically designed to make it look more dynamic on camera.
How interesting.
Which is really interesting. So I thought that was fascinating.
That's great.
And also very much in keeping with the way I perceive Tom Cruise, that he's just aware of those sorts of things.
Every step of the way.
And then the other interesting anecdote is that apparently you can track the success of his movies to the amount of running that he does in them. The more running he does, the more successful they are.
That's hilarious.
So, given the record-breaking weekend for this new Mission Impossible, I wouldn't be surprised to see the next one is just 90% him running from one
run, Lola, run, to next run, Tom, run.
Exactly. So I thought that was
really
pretty funny.
That's kind of great.
Yes, but definitely looking forward to seeing that as well.
Just going in order because we're on the screen for Alita Battle Angel.
I am liking the look of Alita. Now, I have seen, you've not seen the anime, I don't believe.
No,
anime is fantastic. So the original anime film is amongst the best, in my opinion.
Like, it's up there with kind of Akira or Ghost in the Shell or one of those.
Absolutely. And I would highly, highly recommend finding that and watching it. So there is a part of this, I will admit, is tinted by just some excitement around seeing, an adaptation of that, which looks pretty faithful. I'm definitely a fan of Robert Rodriguez.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely a fan of James Cameron. So, the credibility of the creative talent involved, gives it a notch for me. The first trailer I was a little concerned by, mostly in the look of the characters, and that I felt like Alita in particular, like I think they're going for this very stylized, kind of real, trying to make the sort of big eye anime character look, work in a live action setting. And I didn't feel like it was really working. Like I was bumping me out of it in the first trailer.
Interesting.
They've clearly revised that going into the second one. Mm-hmm. So the look of the CG characters to me feels more realized. Mm-hmm. That silliness around the eyes, like she still has big eyes, but it doesn't feel out. It's not bumping me into the uncanny valley as much as it was previously.
Right.
So that was actually, kind of the thing I was paying the most attention to in this most recent trailer. But I do like the look of it. I think that for me, the jury is way still out on, how it's going to work as a movie. Visually, I like it. I think it looks
good. It's good. The design's great. I honestly, what bumped me about this, and I feel like this is a consistent issue with Cameron, is the casting.
Yes.
And it's like, she looked kind of great. Christoph Waltz is obviously, he's just incredible and everything.
Yeah.
The male lead that she's driving through kind of left me cold. Mm. Some really clunky dialogue, front and center in the trailer. A lot of the things that I think can be wrong with both James Cameron and Rodriguez.
Yeah.
I felt like we're on display in the trailer, and so I'm not encouraged. It's always interesting. I love watching the stuff with Kylo, who's 10, because you get this very immediate sense of, oh, does something work, something not? Like, I would say he's a very movie-aware kid. He's a
good barometer
kid.
For that
he
stuff,
really
yeah.
is. Mm-hmm. But he's got a pretty instant sense of, eh, I'm not convinced. There's something off about this. And he tends to be right.
Yes.
Not always.
Yeah.
But he tends to be, and we both got that slight sense from this.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Jury's out. I'll probably still see it anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah. I'll definitely see it. But yeah, mm-hmm. I'm more encouraged by this trailer than I was by the first one, and definitely to be determined.
Yes.
Yes.
Death of a Nation, obviously the new Dinesh D'Souza masterpiece. Forget it. We'll move on.
Yes.
Aquaman.
Aquaman is interesting because I want to really like it. There are some things about it I do really love. I love the fact that this is actually a quote from James Wan, who, you know, is a fantastic filmmaker, so I think that gives it a big credibility boost right off the bat.
Definitely. James Wan is talented.
You can feel in the trailer for Aquaman as well, certainly as we'll talk about in a moment, Shazam, like, I think it's looking like DC has started to figure it out or kind of learn their lesson to a degree. Like, this looks like a lot more fun than certainly the stuff that we've seen in the past.
It certainly does.
I think they're trying to do a little bit of a sort of Game of Thrones underwater kind of idea.
Yes.
And then I also think what I do love is they've leaned in like hardcore to some of the comic stuff. So like the fact that Black Manta looks the way that he looks in this trailer, like, it is pulled. So that's the guy with the huge helmet and the big glowing eyes. So if not the main villain, I guess it won't be the main villain, but one of the villains. So like that costume and the look of that character is directly from the comics. And one would very likely suspect that like this very goofy kind of big helmet, you know, look would be like right on the chopping board, you know, for especially in days gone by, for like, this looks silly, let's, you know, do something different. And I just kind of love the fact that, you know, and James Wan said, like, you know, there's a quote from him from Comic-Con that there's nothing wrong with these designs. We just have to make them work on screen.
Right.
And there's even a nod to Aquaman's, you know, kind of silly classic orange shirt in here as well. So it's like, I kind of love the idea that like a lot of the character design and the set design and, you know, all this stuff is very influenced by the, you know, old school comics, and Mara looks exactly the way that she looks in the comics.
That's cool.
The underwater stuff, I think, looks like it's pretty spectacular. I did also see, this is kind of funny, I saw someone take this trailer and the Black Panther trailer and play them next to each other, and it's almost shot for shot.
Oh, really?
Which is kind of interesting.
That's really
funny. So, so it's like the cadence of the way that the trailer plays, and like the beautiful kind of vista into Wakanda versus the one into Atlantis.
Stuff,
yes. Like, it's pretty funny.
I just found it's funny because there's a whole bunch of like this whole, like, we're pausing on the screen as we speak. There's like, oh, he's going to attack the Earth. And then there's this whole bit with like a tidal wave coming and Aquaman's driving along. Ponyo did it better.
Yeah.
Basically, what I'm getting from this. Now, you know, Miyazaki's a master in a way that, you know, as much as I respect James Wan.
A few people are, yes.
But it's just, I'm like, okay, you're going to have to do everything there.
Yeah.
And then we're flying on the water and we're in this like underwater world that kind of reminds me of Jar Jar Binks's habitat. It's like, I feel like YouTube people are gonna die. You're gonna come like flopping out, big eared Muppet monkey flopping around somewhere.
Yes.
All right, riding turtles.
Finding Nemo. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. And then going literally like going swirly swirly. Woohoo! Woohoo! Like it's straight Finding Nemo.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm gonna fight you. Everyone's doing like kind of half Nazi salutes, half Black Power salutes, which is a weird combination given that those are kind of antithetical. You know, and then they're fighting
those with Ocean Master.
Just irritated me. The yay shot. Then there was the serried ranks of seahorses that ultimately kind of pissed me off. I was like, that is just stupid.
Yes, yes.
All right, fish people,
yeah.
More fish people,
yeah.
More fish people. Ooh, sharks with guns. Okay.
And you know, things to ride on.
Sharks with, right.
With what is that? Oh, my God.
Like, it's a variation on wog, yes. Riders. Oh, this,
yeah,
is the guy,
yeah,
who rides.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, Black Manta, yeah.
Glowy person.
Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah.
More sharks.
Yeah.
Some,
yeah,
kind of battle, yeah, scene. Yeah, and then, yeah, where is it? There's a specific, oh, yeah, people being eaten by crabs.
Fisher friends, not food.
Fisher, yeah, friends, right. Just, yeah, doesn't apply.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
it's kind of goofy. It's so for me, the jury is still out. You know what? The trailer to me actually looks fine. Like, I think, again, I at least it feels like it could be fun, which I think,
yes,
compared to the last,
yeah,
batch of DC movies, except for Wonder Woman,
uh-huh,
like, that at least looks like it's headed in a good direction. It does bug me that it looks like they threw this poster together in like 5 minutes just to get something, uh-huh, out. Because, number one, Aquaman was clearly shot on land, and it's like they put a wind, like a fan on him to make his hair blow, but he doesn't look like he's underwater at all.
Yes.
And then I think this is hilarious. Somebody else did the detective work, but apparently one of these two sharks that are right in the foreground on the poster,
yeah,
is literally the first thing that comes up when you Google image search shark. So, you know, someone has thrown this together very quickly. But, yeah, so I think, you know, there too. Jury's still out. I'm sure I'll see it. But DC is still finding their way. And as a segue there too, I'm sure you also saw that the Joker movie has been officially greenlit with,
yes,
Joaquin Phoenix,
uh-huh,
as,
uh-huh,
the Joker.
Which, again, is weird because
is
there's Jared Leto one as well.
It is.
Now, is that the Scorsese one?
It is the Scorsese one, although I don't think Scorsese is actually still involved, although they are talking to De Niro as potentially joining the cast, which is interesting. So it looks like with what DC is doing, and I think it's a smart
throwing
move.
Everything at the wall to hope,
well,
someone sticks?
Sort of. I think it's a smart move. I also think it's a smart move to distance themselves from all the stuff that hasn't worked. Is they've actually rebranded. This was one of the announcements at Comic-Con as well. They've rebranded the cinematic universe. It's no longer the DC Cinematic Universe.
Uh-huh.
It is now called Worlds of DC. And so what that sort of moves towards is one of the things that DC always had, at least in when I was growing up reading comics, is they used to play it a lot faster and looser with continuity than Marvel did. So,
right,
you know, there were literally multiple Earths in the DC universe. So you would have, you know, like the Superboy comic series was not taking place in the same universe that the Superman comic series was taking place, because the Superman mythology is he grows up with his family and he becomes Superman as an adult, basically.
Right.
Whereas Superboy, he's running around in a costume as a teenager. So,
yes,
they literally kind of splintered their universe into these different threads and sort of multiverse, you know, concept. And that led to a huge kind of one of the first major crossover events in the 80s, which was called Crisis on Infinite Earths, where they tried to collapse all that continuity into one shared universe. And so over the course of that series, sort of a watershed moment in, you know, kind of classic comics mythology, but they did this, you know, 12 issue crossover where all of these universes kind of collided, and at the end of it you were left with one Superman, one Batman, you know, that kind of collapsing of this multiverse. So it kind of looks to me like what they're doing with the movies is going back to that idea where you can kind of let the Justice League and all this stuff that's already happened live over here in this dire, dark world universe that,
yes,
we don't ever need to see again, and you can have Wonder Woman and Shazam and potentially Aquaman kind of splinter off
into
new, more
thing.
Fun,
yes,
you know, more adventurous DC universe,
yes,
and kind of that opens up the door for these sort of multiple Joker movies and that sort of stuff. So you can do this sort of dark, you know, Joaquin Phoenix exploration of what it is to be a crazy guy that doesn't need to exist but might be interesting story over here, and then you can do Birds of Prey with Jared Leto and Harley,
right,
Quinn and all that over here,
yes,
and, you know, kind of let them kind of do their own things. And I think that
I still say,
you know,
it's a shotgun approach to
franchise
building.
You know,
no,
it really is. But I think that what might be smart about it is, I think what someone may have rightly realized is that I do think the notion that you can try to especially shortcut your way to it, but I think the notion that you can duplicate what Marvel has done is a flawed one, especially when you don't have that kind of key, you know, Kevin Feige, you know, kind of figure that's kind of running that whole show. And no one at DC is going to be able to do that. And so I think, you know, doing what they've always done well, which is sort of, you know, looking at the Batman franchise, for example, it's like, you know, giving strong filmmakers a vehicle to kind of tell these stories that they want to tell, playing with these particular toys is a much smarter approach, I think, for Warner Brothers at this point, especially than trying to, you know, continue down this path that isn't working, you know, trying to replicate what Marvel has done. So it'll be interesting to see where that goes, but I think it's a clear shift of approach and focus.
It is.
And hopefully,
and that will also ties into, I think, Shazam.
Yes.
Which, frankly, I love the look of. That was great.
Shazam looks like so much fun to me. Shazam is big with capes, and I love the look of that.
That's great.
But it's, you know, it's like total, you know, kid wish fulfillment of becoming a superhero, and it just looks fun and funny. And Zach Levi, who's playing Shazam, looks great. I actually even really like the look of the costume. Like, all that stuff to me just looks like tons of fun.
It's
one of the ones that I'm looking forward to the most that was announced out of Comic-Con.
Definitely some of that. Now, slightly other especially Godzilla.
Yes,
King really of the Monsters. Look of that. I was
really
a
like
big
the look
fan
of, that.
Of the Godzilla reboot. Yeah, I thought that was excellent. I think Gareth Edwards did a phenomenal job with that. Less of a fan of the King Kong. Although there was still some very cool stuff in there. There were just some like King Kong fighting giant lizards. I don't know. There's some stuff in there that pissed me off. But Kong was amazing, and I love the scale that they got of him. I thought the fact that he wasn't, you know, the original Kong is kind of a 30-foot ape? Whereas the Kong is like
100 plus.
Like, I really like that. He's still obviously going to be a tiny thing compared with Godzilla.
Yes.
But still,
yes.
Loving the look of that. And I love the fact that they have What's-Her-Face from Stranger Things is the face on the poster. I think it just speaks to the impact
that
Stranger Things has had on popular culture.
No, it looks like a lot of fun, and I love seeing the hints of other classic, you know, Toho monsters like Mothra and, you know, some of the classic Godzilla.
Kind of makes me want to go and learn about some of that stuff, because I don't know any of that.
It looks like a lot of fun.
Thoroughly excited.
Did you see the trailer for Titans out of San Diego? So Titans is the flagship launch for DC's new streaming service, DC Universe. So DC is launching a streaming platform. It's got some original kind of essentially TV, you know, streaming content. But what's also interesting about what they're doing is it's live action streaming content, it's some animated stuff, and then they're also including an offering of comics in there. So for your $8.99 a month, essentially one destination for this kind of broad cross section of DC content,
right?
Which is interesting. So I'm gonna see. I'd be curious to see how that does. The sort of controversial thing about it is their launch series is Titans, and so this is a live action version of Teen Titans, essentially.
Kyla was telling me about this. I hadn't focused on
it. Now it's funny because as kind of you can see the movies kind of taking this more light-hearted, you know, more fun and adventurous tone. This trailer for Titans looks like Zack Snyder might have directed it himself, except that it's not as good. It's very dark, very moody, and ends with the line "fuck Batman" from Robin. So I think it looks to me like Robin mows down people with a machine gun, kills someone with his little Robin R thing, and then someone asks about Batman and he goes "fuck Batman," and that's the end of the trailer.
That's hilarious. Part of the trailer too.
Yes, so very, very that definitely bumped me, I would say, in looking at the Titans trailer. So what had me be very interested in DC's new streaming service, a little bit less so off the back of that, but we shall see.
That's funny.
Yes. I'm trying to think if there's any other big announcements at a Comic-Con. I mean, lots of interesting TV stuff. I'm looking forward to seeing Dark Castle, which is a new Hulu show based on the Stephen King series. So that looks kind of interesting. Kind of blanking on anything
kind
else.
Kind of
the
it,
moment.
I think.
That's kind of it. Yeah. Lots of course, you know, comics announcements and other things like that. But I think as far as the big kind of entertainment things, you know, Marvel was conspicuously absent.
Yep.
This year. I think they're probably just like, we know Avengers is coming. That's all we really need to say right now. I think they showed a trailer for the second season of Iron Fist, which actually looks surprisingly good considering how not great the first one was. Moving to actual kind of individual Hoojima flips, I just finished watching the first season of American Gods, which is on Stars.
I really want to see that. Okay.
It's really good. Like I had, you know, I actually have never read the comics, but it's based on a comic series by Neil Gaiman, who I love.
It was a book by Neil Gaiman.
No, is it a book?
I thought it was
a series of graphic novels. Maybe it was a book.
As well. Okay. I don't know if the book came before or off the graphic novel series.
I could be wrong. Maybe it's just the book. So anyway, something that Neil Gaiman wrote has been turned into this Star series.
Far wrong.
I'm blanking on his name, but the guy that plays Swearengen in Deadwood is one of the main leads.
Yes.
And he is fantastic. But the whole thing is great, and it's
Ian McShane.
Yes, thank you. Ian McShane is wonderful, and it's this very great kind of just mashup of, you know, ideas and visuals and characters and this sort of underlying mythology about, you know, sort of the deities in this world being, you know, kind of fueled by human belief.
It's very interesting because the author Terry Pratchett picked up on that.
Yes.
A book called Small Gods.
Yes.
Which the entire premise of the book is.
Well, it's interesting because there's reference to the notion of, I don't remember if they call them, no, it's the, is it, it's either Small Gods or New Gods, but there's reference to the notion of sort of the newer gods versus the older gods and kind of the status that brings with it into the world, which is interesting. But really enjoyed that. So it's on Stars. I think they definitely have announced a second season. I know they were having some issues with showrunners and things like that. So
yes,
some,
they've gone through a couple.
Some challenges moving into season two, but I'm very much now looking forward to season two. So I definitely recommend that to anyone.
Very cool indeed. Yeah. My specific. So we were on a flying to and fro on an airplane to New York last weekend, and again, God pointed me out. So Love, Simon was a movie that came out earlier this year.
Yes.
It's written by actually two friends of mine, Isaac Apicar and Elizabeth Berger, who are the showrunners of This Is Us.
Oh, right. Now. Yeah, yeah.
And this movie they wrote a couple of years ago. They then were there. There's a pod, the script notes had them on there.
Yes.
A couple of months back, which was very, very strange. Listening to people you know on a podcast.
Yes.
To this, like, but they're great people, and the movie is fantastic.
Yeah.
I just loved it.
It's great.
It's kind of beautiful exploration, but it's kind of, you know, super popular kid in a high school, kind of, you get the sense of kind of Midwestern high school, who is who's gay and is dealing with that and has this kind of online literary affair with this other gay student at the school, but he doesn't know who he is, and so the whole movie is him trying to find out who his soulmate is.
Yes.
Just great. I mean, had me in tears a couple of times. Without being overly nostalgic or sentimental. I mean, just pitch perfect all the way through.
That's great.
Really loved it. Really loved it. And then the other movie I saw coming back was Isle of Dogs.
Oh, yes.
The Wes Anderson one, which was just great. And it's funny because I feel like Anderson always goes, I feel like it's hard work somehow, and yet Isle of Dogs was just spectacular.
Mm.
And I think Incredibles will probably still win because it's an animated movie this year because it's... it's obviously it is what it is. It's Disney, and they have that muscle behind them. But my God, Isle of Dogs is head and shoulders the better movie.
Really interesting.
Hands down, not even.
I will definitely have to see that. Yeah. Of course, I still need to see Incredibles too. But yes, very good.
Dear,
very good. I know. Shameful. Shameful. Yep. Very good. Well, if you want to see my live reactions to many of the trailers that we talked about, I actually recorded a bunch of videos on my Instagram TV channel where I you can actually watch me react to watching the trailers. So that is my personal Instagram, which is at M2Ebin. You can find all of us and our stuff at M2Action on Instagram, Facebook, and so forth. Our digital comics platform, Macroverse, is at Macroverse App.
Yep.
Please take a moment and rate and review this podcast. Subscribe.
Make a huge difference. Yep.
Let people know about it. It makes a big difference to people finding this and other stuff that we're up to. Always want to give a quick shout out to Brandon Weisel, our long-term composer who also does the intro and outro for this show.
Boo, 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 boo. That's the new outro.
Okay, well, let's give a shout out to Adam Martin, who did this week's outro. And with that, we'll see you next week.
Bye.